And now, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, good old Peter is up to his old tricks. He's the same guy. He's so impetuous. Of course, none of us are like that, of course. But he's so impetuous. He said, Lord, I'll be with you till the ends of the earth. Yada, yada. And Jesus said, well, before the cock crows three times, you'll deny me. And sure enough, he did. And then Jesus said, I need to go to Jerusalem. And Peter said, well, no, you don't need to do that. You'll be killed there. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. And today, he's embarrassing himself again. These words of Jesus, O man of little faith, why do you doubt? Must have seared his heart. These words of the Master. But, you know, looking at Peter, it's easy to see why he began to sink. I would have done the same thing, I'm sure, or never got out of the boat in the first place. It's easy to see how that when he started looking around, he said, uh-oh, I'm not supposed to be doing this. What happened? Well, you see, we don't want to believe in miracles anymore. We want to think that that was something that happened long ago and far away. Those are things that Jesus did when he was here on earth, walking on water, turning water into wine, raising the dead. We just don't want to believe in miracles anymore. And so we tell jokes about them, you know, about the three ministers, which you've heard 100 times at least. They were out fishing, and one minister got out of the boat, walked over to the shore, and got a soda at the refreshment stand, and came back, and after a while the other one got out and went on shore, went to the restroom and came back, and the third one looked around and he decided he wanted to get out of the boat, so he got out of the boat and sank. And so one of the first two said to the other, do you think we should tell him where the rocks are before he drowns himself? We tell jokes about miracles because we don't really see them anymore. We want to explain them away. We say, the Red Sea or the Reed Sea, whichever interpretation or thing, wasn't really parted. It was the wind blowing, and God didn't have anything to do with that. And Jesus really didn't multiply loaves and fishes. He opened the hearts of the people so they all shared their baggy lunch. Or Jesus didn't really walk on the surface of the lake. There were rocks under there. You know, we can't believe in miracles. We either joke about them or we try to explain them rationally. And if we say we believe in miracles, people look at us and they laugh because they think we're joking. But listen, beloved, to that sound beneath the laughter. It's a haunting cry of despair. It's a cry of loneliness, a cry of wanting to believe, a cry of longing to see a miracle. You can see it in the eyes betray them. There's hunger there, there's hunger to see something miraculous happen or something godly in their lives. Could it be, you think, that we experience miracles every day, but we just simply don't see them? Could it be, perhaps, we need to know what a miracle looks like? Look at today's miracle in the gospel reading. This wasn't the first time the disciples had been on the trouble, they call it Sea of Galilee, it's a lake 12 miles across, but it's kind of shallow, and the wind can blow and the waves can get very high. And the story today, Jesus wasn't with them. He had sent them on across, and he was going to join them later, mainly because he needed some time alone. There's a lesson. All of us need some time alone to just be with God, to meditate, to not have any interruptions. And Jesus needed that. So on the lake, on the Sea of Galilee, the hills rise up on one side pretty much. And I think he was up there. I see him up there looking down on the disciples rowing across the lake. And he saw the wind blowing, and it got to be 3 o'clock in the morning. And they had only gone about a third of the way, and he looked at them and said, well, the poor dears. I'm sure he must have said that. Many times he must have said that. Even as Jesus attended his own needs, he was aware of the disciples. They were afraid. Matthew says they were scared. They were terrified in this storm. And so Jesus came to them about 3 o'clock in the morning. And can you imagine being out there with the storm raging, you rowing just as fast as you can to get to the other side, and all of a sudden this ghostly figure comes out across the lake? Yeah, they were scared. And Jesus said, don't be afraid, it's me. And Peter still wasn't convinced. He said, Lord, if it is you, if it is you, tell me to come to you. And Jesus said, well, come. Well, we all know what happened after that. Suddenly, Peter realized what he was doing. He stepped out of the boat, was walking toward Jesus, and all of a sudden, he said, wait a minute. He started to analyze. Don't we do that sometimes? Something's wonderful is happening. All of a sudden, we have to analyze it so we can put it in a neat little package. And so Peter did, and Peter began to sink. Jesus had to reach down and say, oh, Peter, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? And I imagine, though it's not recorded anywhere, but Peter said, well, I was scared. I was afraid. I did not know that I could do that. You see, I think one of the messages in today's gospel reading is that too often we choose a task we think we can do under our own power, under our own steam, so to speak. We're like the young person who finishes college and says they're uncertain what their life's work will be, and they say, well, I think what I'll do is find out what I'm capable of doing, and when I know that, I'll look for a job that I can handle. With that philosophy, Peter would still be in the boat. It's not an easy thing for us to believe in miracles at this time. We want to rationalize them. We want to blame it on poltergeist or whatever it is. But I think part of the message in today's gospel story is that we must not limit ourselves. We must not ask for tasks equal to our power, but we're to ask for power equal to our task. You see the difference? Ask for God's power equal to the task that we have to do. We must, like Peter, answer the call. We must demonstrate to the world that miracles can happen. And we must be attuned to when miracles happen. We too must step out of the boat. It's safer in the boat. It's safer to be cautious. It's so much easier to be timid. But you see, when we do that, we miss the excitement, the adventure The miracle of living out our faith in God's power and love in our lives. God says, now, don't be stupid, but trust. God says, I'm there with the power available to you, available to your life. And that ghostly figure stands out there just beyond our clear vision, offering support and sustenance and power to us in our daily lives. He's waiting for us to ask for the power, you know that, because he doesn't force himself on any of us. He's waiting for us to plug into the power circuit, and we can say like Peter, even if we do have a little doubt, Lord, if it is you, bid us come to you. And he'll say, come. Come. Come live the abundant life. Come live the joyful life. Come live the fulfilling life. And see what can happen when you put aside fear and trust in God. See what happens when you step out of the boat. Amen.